Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be here tonight. Praise our God. You know, we sang all these wonderful songs, and I can't help but just know how wonderful it is to think that a God who hates sin would yet have wonderful compassion on us and take all those things from our past and bury them in his sea of forgetfulness, the depths of the sea, not to be remembered again. And you know, there's a wonderful thing with that. It's just amazing to think what God has done for us. How when we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And there was nothing we could do of our own merit. There was nothing that we could do to earn our salvation. But God, taking on the form of man, came to this earth and made a way that we could be redeemed, that we could be bought back, that we could be his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. You know, it's something to sing about. It's something to give glory to. That is for sure. And you know, I know sometimes it's hard for people to realize. They think of their past and all the trouble they were in and all the trouble they caused and all the heartaches and everything else. And you know, the wonder of it, that in coming to the Lord and obeying him, that their sins could be forgiven. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. But that is the wonderful gift of God. Praise the Lord. Something that we could never deserve. But oh, yes, through his mercy, through his grace, the wonder of it all, how he takes us as we are. But oh my, he begins to change us. Oh, yes, he sends forth the Holy Ghost to transform us. Oh, yes, to indeed make us his sons and daughters. Oh, there's a wonder to this story. Praise our God. And you know, we start worshiping him now. We start praising him now. We start singing now. But oh my, it's a song that continues and continues and will continue throughout all eternity. Glory to his name. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight. Ask God to take over and to help us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you that we can assemble here tonight, Lord. And oh God, that we can sing your praises, Lord. And oh God, we can think upon thee. And now we can open up thy word. And oh God, we can think upon thy word, Lord, and draw nigh to thee. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us. Oh Lord, we be pilgrims, we be strangers in this world. Oh God, but our destination is, oh Lord, in heaven, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would work in our hearts tonight. I pray that you'd work faith in our hearts. Oh God, I pray that you take away the doubts, that you take away the fears, that you take away the apprehensions. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us to believe in thy saving grace. Oh Lord, thy goodness. Oh, thy great goodness toward us. Oh Lord, that you would redeem us. Oh God, not only that, but that, oh Lord, you take us through this world. Oh, help us, Lord. Oh God, you help us, Lord. Oh, gain victory, Lord. Oh God, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, each and every one tonight. God, you know every specific need, you know every burden. Oh God, you know every question, Lord. I pray that you would work in every heart. I pray that you'd bring faith, oh Lord, to every heart. I pray that you'd take away every doubt, every fear, oh God, every apprehension, Lord, all the things that are stumbling blocks, Lord, oh God, that they would go in the name of Jesus. I pray that you work in our hearts tonight. Oh God, that thy will be done, Lord. For we live in perilous times. And oh God, we know not, oh God, what tomorrow holds. But oh God, we know that you have promised to go with us, to be with us. Oh God, to use us, to keep us, Lord. Oh God, and we draw nigh to you, Lord. Oh yes, Lord, let your word have free course. Let it go forth and do the work that you have ordained it to do. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray, oh God, the sinner would be converted, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that you'd fill your people with the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, that you'd take away, oh God, everything that is a stumbling block. And oh God, give us eyes of faith. Give us the ability to see and discern, to know, oh God, to draw nigh to you, Lord. Oh, God, I give this service to you. I ask you to help me, Lord. Give me words. Oh, Lord, use this message, Lord. Oh, let the devil be rebuked in Jesus' name. Oh, God, let every fear be rebuked in Jesus' name. I pray that you be here, Lord. Oh, God, be with your people. Talk to every heart and use this message. Oh, yes, for the moment, and oh, yes, for all those who will listen to this in the future. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to know the Lord. We are so privileged, and I just count it a privilege to be here. Oh, my. We know that these are wild times. And we don't know exactly what is in the making, but I thank God that here we can gather tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We have this privilege tonight. And, I don't know. I see perilous times. I see trouble on the horizon. Oh, when I see what's in the making and I hear some of the words that are coming forth and knowing what's on the scene to a little extent. But yet I know we have the promises of God and we can walk in faith and not in fear. And yes, we can believe God. Oh, yes, because our God is mighty. And you know, I hope it all becomes a realization, if it already isn't, that, you know, our God works in amazing ways. He's a mighty God. And sometimes, oh my, the way He answers is way beyond anything we ever thought of, any reasoning of our own, and praise the Lord for it. That's our mighty God. So we're going to be talking here about faith tonight. Faith to move mountains. Faith to believe God. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, faith and not fear. The help of our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just begin here to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And just want to catch a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 21, and let's look at verse 21 and verse 22 here. Here it is. Jesus answered, it tells us, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is a very positive statement that our Lord and Savior made. And oh, yes, he just made it clear. If we could just have faith. No doubts, just faith, that we would be able to say, as he did to the fig tree, be thou removed, be thou cursed in that case, or whatever, and it would be done. Or not just to the fig tree, as Jesus had exemplified earlier in this chapter, but also, would there be a mountain in our way? And of course, when we think of mountains, it's not just, a natural phenomena, but there are mountains that try to overwhelm us. There are mountains that try to take our faith and destroy it. And there's mountains that we need to climb over with eyes of faith. And praise the Lord, Jesus has told us in this chapter that we could say, Be thou removed. These obstacles that try to get in the way of our faith and hinder us. But we can say, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Because as he said very positively in verse 22, And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to have faith in the mighty God. And of course, we note in this verse, and we're going to be talking about faith. Faith, not fear. But, you know, so many times there's these little things, these stumbling blocks that try to overwhelm our faith. And yes, Jesus particularly mentioned doubts. And oh my, those doubts can clobber one. So it is. But also, there is something called fear that often gets in the way and tries to overwhelm people. But we know, as we're told in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, praise the Lord, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. He's given us faith to overcome all these things that try to clobber us, you know, that makes us think, oh, that could never be, that will never happen. Oh, it just sounds way out there. It sounds way too impossible. But oh my, we can say goodbye to that fear. Oh yes, because again, as it tells us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but no, rather, He's given us the spirits of power and of love and of a sound mind. And how I value that in this world that is going amok and getting crazy every day, and we see all the lunacy that's out there. But oh, praise the Lord, we can still say we know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Praise the Lord. And yes, speaking of fear, again, going briefly here to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and reading verses 17 and 18, they tell us, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Verse 18 tells us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh, praise the Lord. The next verse says we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, praise the Lord. He reached out to us to save us. Praise the Lord, to make a way for us. And praise the Lord, if we're walking in His love, there's no fear in that. He's going to make a way for us. He's our good shepherd. And if we're following Him, He's going to take us safely through this world. Oh, through the jungle, through the wilderness, through the deserts, up through the mountains, whatever all it entails. Because, oh yes, the Lord leads us. He guides us. And, oh yes, we can commit all of that unto Him and know, okay, Lord, it's going to be okay. This sounds crazy. Oh, God, you know I don't want to do that. And it doesn't make sense. It's one of those lunatic things again. Oh, Lord. But, oh, my. We can trust our God. And, yes, we can know that there is no fear in love. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But perfect love, that perfect love, you know, casteth out fear. The fear goes. When, oh, yes, the love of Jesus comes into our life. Oh, it overwhelms the fears, the doubts, all the trials, all the things that try to rise and overwhelm us. And yes, it tells us, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh my, you know, we know how it was when the children of Israel there got to the Red Sea, and what a moment that was. Most of them were just full of fear. I mean, it looked impossible, didn't it? Oh my, the Egyptians had decided to pursue them. And they were behind them. And oh my, the Red Sea, the mighty Red Sea. Oh, perhaps it was overflowing even at that time, was before them. And it seemed like they were stuck. And that there was no way to get around it, to get out of there. How could they escape? But I love how Moses said to the people, Oh, yes, in Exodus, the 14th chapter, it tells us, "And Moses said unto the people," verse 13, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, there they were. And it says in that 15th verse, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now, again, you know, how do I do that? You know, it seemed like a complete blockage. It seemed like a roadblock that no way could you penetrate. But, oh my, God told him how to do it. God had the instructions. Oh yes, he said, "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." And praise the Lord. Oh, God took care of every detail. I love that. You know, he's not blind to this and that. All these little things, you know. Can't you see that problem? Can't you see, that need? You know, no, God isn't blind. He saw the Egyptians behind them. He knew all about it. And yes, in verse 19 it tells us, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to those," or to these rather, "so that the one came not near the other all the night." Oh, praise the Lord. Every detail taken care of by our wonderful Savior. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Oh, praise the Lord, how the Lord took care of every detail. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Oh, praise the Lord. I love how the Lord did it. Who could have ever guessed how they would cross that Red Sea? Oh, how they would get out of this situation, this very, very tight spot. But God knew exactly, precisely how to do it. And every detail was covered. Every single one of the Israelites crossed over that Red Sea on dry ground, with the waters being a wall that were up against them. Praise the Lord, but every one of the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Praise our God. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. He is so good to us. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to another portion in the Old Testament. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, we're talking about faith, not fear here tonight. Faith, not fear. Faith to believe God through all the circumstances of life. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Looking here at 2 Kings chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go to the middle of this chapter here. We're going to look at verse 24. And this is a story that took place in the life of Elisha. And you know, the one thing about these two men, Elijah and the man that followed him, Elisha, they both had wonderful faith. And I see no fear in what they did. They believed God. And they just took the bull by the horns. And they believed God. And praise the Lord, they were able to inspire the others. Because so often, there's people around you who don't have that kind of faith, that are full of fear and apprehension, doubts, and worry. But oh my, it's a wonderful thing when God gives us the ability to see through spiritual eyes, and we are given the wonderful gift of faith to believe God in circumstances that seem all very difficult and perhaps impossible. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Here, 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. We're going to be reading about a very difficult time. It tells us in verse 24, "And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until the ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Okay, this is not a good circumstance at all. It's a very horrible time in Samaria, which here is the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And what has happened is, yes, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, has gathered all his hosts together, and he went up and he besieged Samaria. In other words, he went in and he surrounded it, and they weren't able to get out. They were held captive within their own area. And because they could get out to get provisions, to get food, to have their needs supplied and everything else, there became a great famine in Samaria. And it was besieged, and they couldn't get through. And you know, it became very difficult, obviously, to find food and even something that probably was, you know, not considered much worth anything. An ass's head, a donkey's head, was at this point being sold for 80 pieces of silver. 80 pieces of silver. And even the dung from doves, which again, you know, what was that worth? was selling for 5 pieces of silver. Oh, this is a horrible time in Samaria. Oh, yes, these 10 northern tribes are in trouble. And it tells us here, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And please, I don't like reading what follows, but just bear with me, please. And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" In other words, you know, how am I going to help you? You know, what's on the barn floor to give you? Or what's in the winepress? You know, forget it, lady. And it says in verse 28, "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee?" In other words, what's your problem? And she answered, again, I wish I didn't have to read this. But anyway, this is what happened. And the king of Israel is Jehoram, by the way, the son of Ahab, Jehoram. But anyway, this is what ailed the woman. And she answered, verse 28 here, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." Oh. Verse 30 tells us, "And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." Oh, this was the most dreadful, horrendous thing that you could imagine. How desperate the situation was, how far it had gone, and these circumstances. And the king perhaps was a little oblivious. I'm sure he knew there was trouble and everything else. But, you know, he probably had, you know, what remains of that which was stored. So perhaps he didn't feel it quite as intensely as the other people did. But here he is, and we know the cities were fortified by these great walls, and you could walk upon them. And obviously the king, Jehoram, was on the wall walking, and, you know, this lady appeals to him with this, you know, this cry, this request, and it, you know, is so horrible. It's beyond what the king anticipates, obviously. And so when he heard the words of this woman, he rent his clothes, it tells us, and he passed by upon the wall, and when the people saw him again, he had on sackcloth. And, of course, that indicated great mourning and, you know, disturbance, trouble, and, you know, a time of a great, great distress. And it tells us, it says in verse 31, this is so something, because, you know, you would think, seeing all this trouble, did he have enough in his heart to, you know, bend his knee and cry out to God? Didn't that, you know, occur to him that, you know, maybe there was sin in the camp and maybe they just needed to get right? Maybe he needed to call a fast and tell the people to seek the Lord with all their hearts? But no, he blames it on the prophet of God. Oh my, I can hardly believe it. And sometimes, I'll tell you, it's true. The things that we're hearing right now, believe me, whoever thought we'd hear them? Oh, there's a spirit of insanity that's raging this world and in this country, and we're seeing and hearing things that we never could have dreamed of. But oh my, here, this was the case in Samaria. And again, verse 31, as I'm going to read it here now, you know, I just can't believe it. This is what the king Jehoram declared here. "Then he said, God, do so and more also to me. if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. He's going to have Elisha, the prophet of God, assassinated, beheaded, because, you know, there's trouble in Israel. He's blaming the prophet. Oh, my. Oh, the nastiness, the character in men, the people, oh, the thing that is inside people. You just can hardly believe it sometimes. Well, I'll tell you what. Oh, God knows all things, and God talks to his prophets. And just before I continue the rest of this story, I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you here that came to mind as I was studying here today. The first one here being from Amos. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay. It's Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. And this is what it says. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. I think that's pretty neat. Oh, yes. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Praise the Lord. Let's also look at a portion in the Psalms, Psalms chapter 25 here. Psalms chapter 25. And let's look at verse 14. And this is beautiful too. It says, Psalms 25 verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Praise the Lord. And one more place here. Proverbs, the third chapter here. Verse 32. Proverbs 3, verse 32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Praise the Lord. Oh, I just love these thoughts that, you know, God, in his inclination, oh, his love towards those that fear him, doesn't keep us in the dark. He has a way of making things known unto his people. And what a wonderful thing. So that, yeah, we can have the insight that we need. We can have the instruction that we need in this world. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. So back here in 2 Kings chapter 6, we have said now, yes, that the king Jehoram is sending his man to come after Elisha. You know, he wants Elisha's head that day. But this is what happens. It says in verse 32, but Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast to the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? Again, we have Jehoram, the son of Ahab, oh yes, who's coming now to, yes, he wants the head of Elisha. But God has already told Elisha. He knows it already. He already knows it. He's there with the elders in his house. And he's telling them, you know what's going to happen. See how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head? Look. When the messenger cometh, shut the doors and hold him fast to the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And so amazing, as just as he's saying this and instructing those that are with him, the prophets that are with him, the knock on the door, so to speak, comes. Verse 33, and while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Oh, yes, a little bit of negativism there, I would say. But I'll tell you, we're going to go into the next chapter, 2 Kings 7, and continue this story here. And it tells us, verse 1, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Oh, yes, these things haven't even been available, and much less for a shekel. You know, we just read, you know, how expensive it was to buy an ass's head, a donkey's head, and even to get dove's dung. Oh, my. But he's making a prophecy right here by the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Well, how could this be? Come on, don't you know what happened? You know, the Syrians have besieged, Ben-Hadad and his men have besieged the city. We can't get out. We're stuck. How is this possible? And yes, this messenger, oh yes, oh, this was his spirit. Verse 2, then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? In other words, hey, that's crazy, crazy, crazy. This, what you have just declared, is impossible. Even if the Lord would make windows in heaven, I still would say it's impossible. Oh, we don't want to doubt God. We don't want to get into that rut. Oh, this sounds too hard for God. I just can't believe this one. Oh, how am I ever going to get out of this circumstance, this trial, this difficulty? Hey, I'm stuck. How in the world is it ever going to happen? Oh, yes, we don't want to doubt God, his wonderful, miraculous ability to help us. Oh, those doubts, those fears, all of those things stop God from doing his work. Oh, yes, you can stop God if you don't believe him. If you have unbelief in your heart, if you're full of fear and apprehension and doubts and everything else, and, you know, don't go forward. I mean, you know, what would have happened to the children of Israel at the Red Sea if it was said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to try to cross the waters. Well, oh boy, they wouldn't have made it, would they? No, thank God for faith. Thank God for leadership that will take you through all the unpredictable, the impossibilities. Thank God for the good shepherd that leads us, that guides us, that knows the way, that is never lost, who is never confused. He always knows the end from the beginning. He knows what tomorrow is going to hold. And he knows how to help us regardless of what is on the horizon. Oh, whatever might happen, our God knows how to deliver, how to save, how to heal, how to keep us. Oh, yes, if we'll just hang on to faith, we'll just endure to the end, if we'll just not let the doubts and the fears run over us and try to drown us and, oh, try to hinder us. Oh, my. No, this man, this Lord in whose hand the king leaned, he couldn't see it. He had no faith at all. Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And this is how Elijah answered. It says, and he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Oh, his skepticism, his negative attitude was going to prevent him from the good things of God. And I think we need to think of this. We need to consider this. Oh my, there's times that the Lord would move. But oh my, we let the sea of fear drown us. The doubts, oh, the apprehension, all the I can't. All those things take over. and that God can't do it. Oh my, how we need to believe our God. Oh, the one that knows how to roll back the Red Sea and make a way for his people to cross on over. Praise the Lord. So Elisha said to this man, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Now, how is God going to do it? How do you think, hey? Well, it tells us. The story continues. Verse 3. "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.'" Oh, praise the Lord. Here's these lepers. They were outside the city. And, you know, only once it just comes to them. I'm sure the Lord prompted this. And, you know, why sit we here until we die? Hey, you know, why just be stuck? You know, hey, you know, there's a possibility. Hey, I'll tell you, it's true. We'll just show faith. You don't know what God is going to do. Sometimes it may just be little steps of faith, one little step after another. But you just don't know how the Lord will see that, how he will honor it, how he will work in a mighty way. Oh, I know there's many times when I knew it wasn't my strength. Oh, no, it wasn't my ability. But, oh, my, God saw little steps of faith. And praise the Lord, he honored it, and he used it, and he did the impossible. Things begin to change. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we serve a God that is mighty. He is mighty to save. He can do anything. There is nothing too hard for our God. Why do you doubt him? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, here's these lepers. So they were inspired. We're going to go into the camp of Syrians. Oh, we'll just, you know, take this chance. I mean, what more can they do but kill us? You know, and it might be that we'll be saved alive. So it tells us, here they go, four of them, four lepers. Oh, here they go, verse 5. "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." Because God had already worked. Let's read what he did. Verse 6. "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp, as it was, and fled for their lives." Oh, praise the Lord. God did what you would never imagine. Oh, praise the Lord. He caused a great noise of chariots, a great noise of horses. Oh, yes, even the sound of a great host, a great army, and all at once, oh, the Syrians became afraid. Oh, they became so afraid. I can just imagine how they were shaking. Oh, as they're talking to them, oh, what's this noise? Oh, my, somehow. And the Israelites must have hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come against us. And oh my, they were so afraid that they arose and they fled. It was the twilight time. Oh yes, before the moon came up and it was dark. They left everything. They left their tents. They left their horses. They left their donkeys, their asses, even their camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, here's these four lepers. Oh, they're coming in. You know, we're going to go in. Why sit we here till we die? Well, you know, chances of save us alive. I mean, they have no idea what has happened. But anyway, here they come, you know. Here they come, these four lepers. It tells us in verse 8, "And when these lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent,
and did eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold in raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also and went and hid it. Oh my, they came into a tent. Oh my, it was lovely there. You know, there was silver, there was gold, there were clothes, raiment, you know, expensive clothes, because, you know, clothes cost a lot of money. And you know, there, you know, and there's food. Yeah, they were able to eat. Oh my, they were able to drink even. So there they were. Oh, well, they went to the tent and took it out and went back to their own dwelling and tonight I'm going to come back, and oh yes, went into another tent and carried away some more and hid it in their dwelling. Well, okay, so the story continues in verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well this day." Excuse me, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Okay, so it dawned to them, well, we just can't just keep all this to ourselves. I mean, look at all these tents. I mean, all this garb, all this wealth, all these things, all this potential. Oh, we better tell them. We better let the king know. So it tells us. Verse 10, so they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And the porter, after he heard this, he called the porters, other porters, and they told it to the king's house within. So, okay, the news is going to get to the king. Well, here's the king. Tells us in verse 12, and the king arose in the night. This is all happening at night now. And it says, and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get them into the city." I mean, here's this king. Oh, yes, no way could this be a miracle, an act of God. You know, he's thinking the very worst. He's thinking, oh, well, now they've trapped us again, you know. You know, we'll go out there and they'll come out of their ambush and we'll all be gone. We'll all be taken alive and they'll be at the end of us. That was very, very negative. He had no faith. Oh, he couldn't believe that this could possibly be a wonderful miracle from the hand of God. Oh, my. But one of his servants, he tells us in verse 13, and one of his servants answered and said, "Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed." I mean, there weren't many animals left, obviously. But, you know, I love it how the Lord used this one servant to speak up. And he says, "And let us stand and see." You know, in the midst of doubts and fears and apprehension and all this negativism, the one servant speaks up. Oh, would it hurt? Would it hurt to just, you know, get on, you know, 5 of our horses and go check this out? Let us send and see. And so, praise the Lord, the king obliged. They took, therefore, 2 chariot horses. And the king sent after the host of Syrians, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing when God speaks. What he has spoken, it will come to pass. God's word is true. Yes. Oh, yes, we know he has said that
He will come again. He will come and not tarry, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, we know that we can believe the words of our Savior. Oh, yes, and know that what he has declared, so it will be. Oh, yes, just as he told the men who were gazing up into heaven after Jesus ascended. Oh, yes, that angel said to those that had watched Jesus ascend back into the heavens, oh, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Oh yes, our Lord is going to come and not tarry. He is going to come and save us no matter how difficult things may get. Oh, how impossible it might seem. Our Lord knows how to save us, how to deliver us. And he's going to be there at the right time, at the appointed time. Oh, yes, it might be our very darkest hour. It might be when things seem impossible and there's no way out. We might feel like we are trapped. But, oh, praise the Lord. Our God is going to know how to deliver us. Oh, yes, he is going to know how to set us free. And, oh, yes, at that moment when we perhaps would almost faint, oh, how we need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, just as Moses told the children of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, yes, for the Lord shall fight for you. Oh, praise the Lord, and ye shall hold your peace. Oh, yes, these Egyptians that you see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as it tells us there, oh, that day of the Lord there in Joel, the third chapter. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, verse 12, let the heathen be awakened and come up into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Verse 15 here in Joel 3 tells us, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. But praise the Lord. Verse 16 says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all going to be past. It's all going to be over. We could just hold on to the end if we could just keep the faith. Oh, if we could just endure to the end, because yes, our God will come and save us. Oh, he's going to roar out of Zion. Oh, come out of his hill, holy hill of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Oh, the heavens and the earth shall shake at his coming. Oh my, what a moment it's going to be. But praise the Lord. The Lord will be the hope of the children of Israel. He will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God will come and save us. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. But, oh, yes, back here in 2 Kings to finish this chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's, yes, what a thing. Just as God had spoken. There, you know, just as they sent, obviously, a few to go and see. And yes, as it tells us in verse 15, 2 Kings 7, And they went after them into Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, how our God answers, how he intervenes. Oh, yes, when there's faith. Oh, even one person's faith can make a great deal of difference. Faith inspires. Oh, faith is bold. Faith is not afraid. Faith goes forward. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Oh, that is what faith does. It gives us faith to believe God in the midst of great trouble, in the midst of great darkness, oh, in the midst of great sickness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that faith that the Lord puts within us so we can believe God, even though it might look bleak. Oh, it may look very dark. It may look impossible. But oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we hold on to the promises of God. We've got to put those promises deep, deep, deep down inside. Oh, we don't want anything to take those promises away. And we hold on. We hold on no matter what it looks like, what the circumstances may be. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God who will come and save us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God is looking for faith. Faith and not fear. And praise the Lord, here it was, the words of the prophet Elisha coming to pass. Oh yes, precisely, exactly as he had spoken. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Verse 17 tells us, and the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Oh, that man who had made that very pessimistic statement. Oh, yes, when Elisha presented words of faith. And, you know, he had said, verse 2 in this chapter, as we read it formerly, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Oh, he had doubted God. He had feared God. He refused to believe, to have faith. He refused it all. And now, according to the words of the prophet, as inspired by God, yes, because Elisha had said to him, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. There he was, the king had appointed him, to stand by the gate and let the people out. And as he stood there by the gate, the people who were so hungry and so desperate and, running so fast, out and see what they could find. Oh, the people trod upon this man. They trod upon him as he stood there by the king's gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. It tells us in verse 18, and it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow above this time in the gate of Samaria. Oh, who would ever think that was possible? But, oh, God knows that all things are possible if we only will believe. Oh, we serve a God who is not limited. He is not bound. He is not restricted. He knows how to do the things that seem impossible with man. Oh, aren't you thankful? Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. And we are privileged, we are blessed to be his people. But there's no good thing that he would withhold from them that fear him. Oh, his people, God loves his people. Oh, he loves his sheep, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, God had used Elisha to make that declaration. So it was. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 19, "And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died." Oh, what an amazing God we serve. Oh, what a wonder he is for those that will have faith and believe him and not fear and doubt and not shy back. Oh, from the bold things. Faith is bold. It really is. But all fear, it's just the opposite. It shrinks back. It doesn't go forward. It goes backward. It hinders. It restricts. It makes it impossible for God to do what he can do. Oh, yes, for he is a mighty God, and there is none to compare to our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I love these stories, all from God's Word. And so often it was that God didn't need a whole great multitude of people. In fact, if we'll just consider for a little few minutes here the story of Gideon and how it was here is the Midianites and others had come against Israel at this point. And there were so many of them that the host that opposed them, the Midianites, and it means the Amalekites and the children of the east that lay along the valley, there were so many of them that, they appeared like grasshoppers for the multitude that they were. But oh, what a story how God used Gideon. And Gideon, he wasn't assuming any, might of himself. In fact, he couldn't believe it because his family was poor. They were in Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh, and he was the least in his father's house. And, he never dreamed that God would use him. Why would God use me, But I'll tell you what, our God doesn't think like people think. Oh, no, he sees something deep within. God looks for faith. He looks for boldness. He looks for people that will stand up and work for him and do his will regardless of what's going on. Oh, not fearing consequences, not fearing the enemy, not fearing what people might think or how they might consider such boldness. And oh, my, it's quite a story. How God proved himself to Gideon in such a way. It wasn't easy. He didn't, have a whole lot of faith in himself, but God began to give him assignments. He was to go to throw down his father's altar. His own father had an altar to Baal. And first off, God told him to go take that altar and, tear it down, cut it down, cut the grove down by it, destroy it completely. And build an altar unto the Lord instead and offer a bullock unto the Lord. And he did it. He did it. And some wanted, they were angry. They wanted, his neck, so to speak. They were after him. But, his debts. His father spoke up for him, and this is kind of crazy. If Baal is angry, then he should defend himself. He said, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. Whilst it is yet morning, if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar, Oh, yes, you know, and that's pretty neat, you know. And they, oh, yes, they called Gideon Jerubbaal after that. Oh, yes, with the saying that Baal pleaded against him because he had thrown down his altar. But God began to use this Gideon. And, you know, oh, yes, there were people that came to him to help fight this host. But, you know, amazing, God talked to Gideon there in the 7th chapter of Judges. And, you know, here they were, you know, there was, you know, an encampment of them. And but yet, you know, remember I said that the host that was against them, there were so many of them, the multitude was so great that they looked like grasshoppers. So many. So, yes, Israelites came unto Gideon to assist him. But God said to him, the 7th chapter of Judges, verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Oh, my. So, you know what he told the people is God inspired him. This is what God told him to do. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And amazing, out of those that had joined themselves unto Gideon, it tells us, and there returned of the people 22,000, and the remained 10,000. Oh my, there had been 32,000 that had gathered there to fight. God says, that's too many. I don't need this many to fight against this encampment against thee. Yes, and you know, now he's got 10,000. Oh, that's a lot less. Oh, yeah, most of them left, or the great, but with the majority of them left, they were afraid, and they left. Yeah, be gone with you if you're afraid. You know, we don't need you. You know, so to speak here, if you're fearful and afraid, you're not going to be any good in this battle. And yet, yeah, there were 10,000 that remained. Verse 4 says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will give them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down his knees to drink. And so there's going to be a separation at this moment. It says, and the number of them that lappeth, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our God is looking for faith. Oh, no, it's not fear. It's not numbers. You know, it's not a big crowd that we need. No, the crowd isn't going to do any good. They're not going to give glory to God. Oh, the crowd isn't going to do any good if they're full of fear and apprehension and doubts and mockery and God knows what all. But, oh, my, finally, yes, left down to 300 men. And praise the Lord, we know the story. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God was able to save. Oh, yes, those 300 men were divided into three companies. Tells us in verse 16, and Gideon put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpets, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So it went on. Verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Oh, praise the Lord, how our God knows how to save. Again, we know there's nothing too hard for our God, and He does it in His own way. You know, you don't have to tell God how to do anything. He knows how to do it, and you know, He does it in such a way that the glory will be given to Him. Praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Bethshaddah in Zarephath, and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tablah. Praise the Lord. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Oh, the Lord gave them the victory. He didn't need a huge number of people to defeat the enemy. No, it was just letting go. Let God do it His own way. Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. He's looking for people right now who will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's looking for people with faith. Oh, yes, we'll go forward and believe God in spite of opposition, in spite of negatives. Oh, yes, and what it might look like on the surface. Our God is looking for people with faith. Will have faith in God and not fear man. Praise the Lord of the wonders of His Word. Oh, God knows how to do it. He needs, just only a faithful few, frankly. But oh my, how wonderful it is to be in that place where God can use you. Again, as it says in Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22, oh yes, verily I say unto you, Jesus' words, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You love Him tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. He's a God of impossibility. There's nothing too hard for our God. He knows how to work. In spite of the skeptics, in spite of the doubters, in spite of the fearmongers, praise the Lord, our God is mighty to save. He's looking for people who will have faith and believe Him and doubt not. Praise the Lord. Are you that kind of person? Oh, praise the Lord. I pray that that's you. And oh, yes, you're going to go forward and believe God and stand on His promises and endure until the end. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. You are the God that answers my fire. Oh, God, you are the God who opened up the Red Sea, Lord. And oh, God, you save by the few. Oh, Lord God, you know, oh, God, how to deliver us. I praise the Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. I pray that you'd give us faith. I pray that you'd encourage us. I pray that you'd give us that kind of strength that we need, oh, God, to stand fast, oh, God, against the opposition. Oh, Lord, oh, God, to put that armor on and to believe Thee, Lord, to rest in Thy promises, Lord. Give us that kind of faith, Lord. Oh, God, and I pray that you'd work. Oh, God, help your people, Lord. Help us all. Give us that kind of strength and boldness and faith. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us to endure until the end. Oh, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Work in us, Lord. Fill us mightily with the Holy Ghost. Let your word come alive in our hearts. Oh, Lord, give us faith to stand in the evil day. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Faith and not doubt. Faith and not fear. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn to number 101 in the chorus book and sing Faith Can Move Mountains, number 101. Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Why don't you try your faith out? Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. God bless you all. Be safe and have a good night. Praise the Lord.